Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is Low Sunday, and this day is called such because now the high point of the Easter festivities are over, and we must resume the ordinary season again. Also, in the early church, this Sunday marked the day on which the newly baptized put aside the white garments which they had been wearing since their baptism on Easter Sunday. The epistle of Low Sunday is taken from the first letter of Saint John, and it has a very great and consoling theme, namely victory. When Jesus died, the outsiders, the people of the world, they saw his death as humiliating, something shameful, or something completely to be forgotten. But then came the resurrection, and no one could deny anymore that this man truly was the victor, redeemer, and savior, from sin, that is. This epistle of Saint John, the beloved disciple, it's a kind of a circular letter, or encyclical letter, and it was written to the churches of Asia. These churches were at that point threatened by a heresy which would later be called Gnosticism. Gnosticism meant that there was some secret knowledge or hidden science which only the elect could understand, and therefore only the elect could really know Christ, who he was. But obviously that is not so. But the gospel, which testifies that Jesus is God and man and Savior, that was meant to be preached all over and in the every corner of the world. And indeed, it has been preached into every corner of the world. The recipients of this letter, they are frequently called little children and dearly beloved. Saint John obviously feels himself to be their spiritual father and leader, and he warns them against false teachers. And he says that all those who are disciples and true followers of Jesus Christ, all they are victorious. And the source of this victory over a world which is hostile to God, it is the living and practical faith. That holy Catholic faith accepts Christ revealed by God and taught by the Scripture and the Catholic Church without hesitation. We should often remind ourselves that our faith, it is not some blind trust based on pure imagination or fantasy. No, our faith is based on testimony, and not even on the mere testimony of people, but on the testimony given to us by God himself. Saint John writes, "And there are three who give testimony in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." And then he continues, "And there are three that give testimony on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three are one." we saw that on Good Friday, Jesus truly gave his spirit, his own life, and he was crying out with a loud voice on the cross and died. And then after spearing his side, there issued from it water and blood. These bear clear witness to everyone that Jesus truly died. But then he raised himself to life. He gained victory over sin and death. And he also made everyone who believes in him, loves him, and follows him victorious. St. John says that if we in the normal life receive the testimony of men, then the testimony which God gives is ever so greater. Therefore, when we love God, we never need to worry or doubt whether our Catholic faith is true or whether our sins are truly forgiven. We know from the testimony of God that our faith is true, and we know from the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that our sins are truly forgiven. In our own time, we often face unbelievers, and we should know that there's nothing wrong with them if they demand proof of our faith. After all, our own faith is based on proof, on evidence given from God through his Holy Catholic Church. Everyone recognizes man's ability to give a trustworthy testimony, and we, as faithful, we must all the more so be believers and honor the testimony of God about his Son, Jesus Christ. And that testimony, it has never been altered. From the times of the apostles, it has remained the same. And this faith can still be seen in those apostolic works by which the priests and the faithful bring light and hope into this dark and sinful world. And to be a true faithful, we must love Jesus and then follow him and obey him. I often tell to our school children that it is not enough just to believe. You must also act according to your beliefs. If a child would say that he loves his mother, but is then stubborn, disobedient, and brings her sorrow with his own conduct, he would give away that he, in fact, does not love him. The words of love are nothing but words if they are not joined with practical love, namely acts of charity. And so it is with God. Love goes hand in hand with the observance of the commandments. The commandments, though they are difficult, they are not too burdensome for those who, strengthened by grace, love God. Because love does not count any labor too heavy. If we follow Christ, we indeed gain victory. The very word victory, it is one of the sweetest of human words. But the people of the world, they usually only think of victory in gaining something useful or pleasant in the world. John F. Kennedy once said that victory has 100 fathers and defeat is an orphan. Success in an earthly game or career, it is always so much appreciated in the world. But whatever success or victory we might gain in the world, it is always far less important than our victory in the struggle against sin. And we can't gain a victory over bodily death, but we can and we must gain victory over spiritual death. Christ, by his death on the cross and then by his resurrection, has robbed death of its dominion over us. And while we must all face death sooner or later, it does not mean defeat for us. The victory of the children of God, namely the faithful, that is true and real victory. And it is worked out in this life by us through faith, hope, and charity. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you.